Gorgeous George and Ghost, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on!
From the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, this is MMA Junkie Radio.
We rollin'!
What's going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goes reporting for duty here on a Sunday night for your Monday morning delivery. And we're excited to talk to you for the next hour as we discuss the latest in mixed martial arts. We got two events to go over. Bellator 300, the historic Bellator 300 card that featured three title fights. And UFC had a fight night. It was UFC Fight Night 229 with the main event of Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green. So we'll go over both of those. And some of the latest news that's out there. Plus, we have a fun pre-recorded interview with two members of the New England Cartel, Calvin Kattar and Rob Font, two top 10 featherweights and bantamweights, respectively. That should be a lot of fun. All right, we'll reset. We'll be right back to start the show. All right, so let's get started here. I think I'm going to give Bellator the pass this week because it was their big show that they had when laid out on paper a few months ago, four title fights. I was like, I'm in, and it's in San Diego, I'm there. But as we got closer, I just pulled away. One big reason had to do with about a week ago, we found out that Linton Bassell and Ryan Bader would not be fighting. I think both guys are quality heavyweights that could do well regardless of where they fought. And that was the fight I think I was looking forward to the most. And now after watching Bellator 300 play out, I'm kind of glad I made that decision. It's not around the corner, right? But it's about a five-hour drive to San Diego. I got my parents out there where I can see them. So there's some benefits to it all. But look, if we're just talking about the card itself, rough one. What did you think, Goz, of Bellator 300 before we go fight by fight? What did you think? I mean, did it have anything of a feeling of what UFC 100 was or UFC 200 or even, to be fair, I guess? I don't even remember Bellator 200, but yeah. And I'm not trying to crap on them. That's the truth. I don't remember. I'll pull it up as you talk.
I was a little heartbroken, honestly, watching it. It wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it didn't live up to what one of those historic events should be like, right? In the past, when things that Bellator has done that's been kind of similar are like when they would do their Dynamite shows, right? Or even like Fedor's last fight to me felt like it, despite Fedor not really putting on the best performance, mm-hmm. It still made you feel like you were a part of something really, really important. And this one, yes, Bader and Linton Bassell hurt. But even past that, like just the way that everything kind of played out, and the fact that we just don't know what the future is here. All of that put together, it was a little sad, and it's just not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. Bellator 200, by the way, was in May 25th of 2018. It was at the Wembley Arena in London, England. It featured Gegard Mousasi versus Rafael Carvalho in the main event. Michael Venom Page versus David Rickles. And Phil Davis versus Linton Bassell. But they didn't really stack some crazy card together for us on that one. So maybe that's why it wasn't really as memorable, you know, feeling like that round number was something to behold or anything like that. But Bellator 300, when they said four title fights, it was this attention grabber to me, you know, where I was like, oh, man, that's the way to do it. Because Bellator had recently had some announcements that were nice, including the next Bellator card. In fact, 301 looks nicer than 300, even if you include Bader and Bassell. But as we got closer, I was like, okay, yeah, this one's not as sexy as it looked a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, whatever, whenever it was we found out. And then the fights play out. Okay, so let's give some shout-outs to the undercard fighters, and I'll shout out some of the names that most of you are kind of familiar with. Grant Neal got himself a W. Kai Kamaka got himself a W, a split decision win over Henry Corrales, by the way. And Leo McCourt defeated Sarah McMahon. So that was a big one because McMahon comes over with some UFC hype, got a win at Bellator. And now all that's gone out the window because she lost to Leo McCourt. Leo McCourt's the young lady that got presented to Cyborg as her next possible opponent after Cyborg dispatched Ozingano. All right, so we get to the main card. We're down to three title fights. And I thought, well, that's not the end of the world, because imagine four title fights that go the distance. That could be a long night, right? Anyway, mm-hmm. We get to Liz Carmouche versus Lemalee McFarland. 30 seconds in, I already knew this one's not going to be good, because I could tell there was a lot of respect there and a lot of camaraderie between the two former teammates and close friends. And maybe they knew each other too well. I'm not going to accuse them of sparring, but it did look like sparring at times. But nothing like what we saw at PFL between Schulte and Roush Manfio. Yeah, no, these two, you know, connected. But again, it sounds terrible, but the ladies just don't crack as hard either. So even when they weren't cracking, there was nothing that made you go, ooh, ah, like nothing that could be a game finisher or a game changer in the fight. And you got these lazy 10-9s that the judges are forced to write down, you know, because no one's doing anything. Think I'm wrong? That ref, Blake Grice, really, really scolded them after the first round. He brought them together before round two started and said, ladies, give these judges something to score. You know, like you need more action here, you know. Between round second, two, and three, he said the same, but didn't bring them to the middle. He actually went to each one individually and just said, let's go, pick it up. Now, that's the round where Lemalee McFarland injured her knee, or re-injured a knee that she had a previous injury to. And at first, it didn't affect her. So you could tell she was limping, but it wasn't going to be anything that would, like, stop the fight. That said, she started getting a little bit more aggressive, sometimes reckless, but I liked it. She was kind of going after it. She figured, I'm already here. I'm already compromised. Let's go. And she did. Liz, on the other hand, still was a little conservative, man. Like, you know, you're not selling yourself as a champ and as a star, you know what I mean? Like, where you can't wait for the next one. You know, like I mentioned Leo McCourt versus Cyborg. When they pulled them in, you're going, okay, I'm down to see it. Let us know when. Liz versus whoever, which I think she said Kana Watanabe, in Japan. I was just like, I don't even know why I heard it or how I heard it. I must have been at the fridge grabbing a beer or something. That's how
I was.
She did say that, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying was, I wasn't on the edge of my seat like I was with Kat and Cyborg, because those two ladies brought it out. They delivered something that, as a fan, I appreciated. I was mad I didn't stick around for the decision. I heard Michael C. Williams say this and that, or it wasn't a decision, it was a finish because of the leg kick. I just wasn't into whatever Liz had to say as far as her next fight. She just did a poor job of selling me on her next fight. I like Liz. She's done a lot in the sport, but that night just was, I don't know, I didn't like it. Then we get the Cyborg Ngannou, and right away he goes, I knew. Well, no, let's hear your thoughts on that fight first, and then we'll move on.
I didn't think it was that bad. Round one, I was a little surprised. I actually thought Liz Carmouche was just going to absolutely run away with this. But round one, Lemalee was getting in her face. She was throwing. Now, granted, it wasn't anything too crazy, because I think she knew if she exposed herself too much, things could go bad. I think it was pretty much a feeling out process. Not just how is this fight going to play out, but how is my friend going to hit me as hard as I'm going to hit her? You know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Which kind of sucks, because you're right. We went through this with PFL. I think both of them were just trying to figure out, are we really doing this? You know, that's what round one felt
right.
like.
Right.
But those leg kicks started to add up. And you could tell at the start of round two, when the first one kind of caved her leg, you could just tell. And I think they both knew this fight's a wrap. It's just a matter of time. So in my head, I'm thinking, all right, well, is Liz going to have the guts to do this? Like, that, you know, one of the things that she brought up was, I don't want to permanently hurt my friend. If it were up to me, I'd submit her and that's a wrap. But you could just see that going down that route, that to get this victory the smart way, she's probably going to have to permanently hurt her friend, give her a very serious injury. And that's what she did. I kind of give her props for going after that leg. I don't know that a lot of people in that same situation wouldn't have coasted maybe a little bit more, but she did. And boy, when it gave out the shot and then the sound that Ali Moulay made, boy, was that something else. But as far as the fight overall being entertaining, it wasn't one of their best fights. And it's supposed to be, because it's part of three championship fights, and it didn't have that feel.
Yeah. And I saw the actual strike as more of a, she stepped in, Liz mm-hmm. caught her, not clean, but it was more about the leg was just exposed. She didn't go after it with like venom. It was just there for the taking in the middle of an exchange. But yeah, it was like weight and leverage. It gave out. It was horrible. Our best to her. But I thought Ali Moulay of the two was more game, I should say. Liz was coasting. And it's not like you can go, well, she, you know, this is one out of a dozen, right? Liz does tend to maybe sometimes just compete, spar, coast. I don't know. That aggression is lacking at times. Now, it's hard to argue with the results. She got cut by the UFC after a loss to Valentina Shevchenko. No harm in that. They're 1-1. A lot of people don't know that. She beat her on the regional scene years ago, about a dozen years ago or 10 years ago. And before that, she was on a 4-5 run where she actually beat, I think, Murphy, Chikagian, Andrade, maybe? I can't remember. But girls that were title challengers at one point to Valentina. So, you know, she figures out ways to win, right? But still, this is Bellator 300. I'm not thinking it's off to a great start. All right, we get to Cyborg and Zingano. Right away, you could tell the buzz was there between the two. You could tell that there was no love lost. They're going to go for it. And guess what? They did. I'll applaud Kat for going out there. And even though she got her butt kicked and she lost, she was throwing some wild haymakers to try and get past some of that reach that Cyborg had. She tried three different takedowns and judo throws. Again, with an aggression, like really, really going for it. Just Cyborg's a beast, man. She's a unit. It's hard to really like get her down, but it wasn't from a lack of trying. And then in the end, Cyborg got a nice punch that clipped Kat and on one of those. And I think that hurt her, that by the time they went down to the ground again, Kat was just done. She was just getting beat up on. But I had an appreciation for that fight. In fact, as that fight happened, I go, man, I think this should have been the main event. Let's see, you know, don't judge the fight wholly until the fight's occurred. On paper, you can judge it. And there really wasn't much to say about Usman or Magomedov versus Brett Primus on paper. You saw the odds. Not too many people gave Primus a shot. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's hear your reaction to Cyborg and Zingano.
That one was a little bit better. You could tell. See, this is kind of what's been my problem with Bellator fights, is I feel like it's either a super mismatch or a fight that just kind of doesn't matter. You know, it's been a moment since we've had some of these like barn burner fights from Bellator. And so this fight again kind of had that feeling.
Alvarez Chandler.
Yeah, like that sort of stuff. Like even if you go to PFL, right? Like Pacheco and Kayla Harrison, like that was a fun fight. You know, that was back and forth. I just don't feel like we get that sometimes from Bellator. It's been a minute since we've gotten those types of fights. And so early on in this fight, I gave Kat Zingano her props because she didn't back down from her. She wasn't afraid of her. But you could just tell the first couple strikes were like, whoa, this girl hits hard. You know, like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Now, she never backed down. You have to give her props for going forward against Cyborg, and she tried everything she could. But just watching it, being a fight fan, covering the sport as long as we have, you could just tell it's coming. It's the beginning of the end. And it almost takes the fun out of the fight a little bit, you know? And so, again, of the three title fights, this one I was more interested going in, and it actually playing out, I enjoyed it more of the three, but it just kind of seemed like a mismatch out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were times that it looked like a mismatch, because basically I don't care what people say. Cat's a bantamweight. 145 is a move up, and that's just not her weight class. Doesn't mean she sucks at it. She's just a bantamweight who can do well at featherweight, but bantamweight's more her weight. Like, if you were to tell her, hey, your job for the next 5 years, I know she's older, but go with me here. But let's just say they said, we're going to commit to you and give you the best gym and nutrition full time, pay some good money. You're going to get the best performances out of 35. If she agreed to it. I mean, maybe she tells us, guys, it's the worst weight cut ever, and I don't want to do it. Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong. But her frame just looks to me like that's the weight class for her. But she went out there. She did her thing, man. She went 4-0 as a featherweight and deserved that shot versus Chris Cyborg. So good for her, and that's that. What sucks for Kat, though, I think she's a kind of a quiet star, man. I think a lot of people really like her. Enjoy the way she is. She's kind of cool, to tell you the truth. But in the two title fights that I remember, Ronda and Cyborg, she just didn't look her best.
I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, George, is just the fact that not that we were sold on this, but she's just not a featherweight. You know, she's a bantamweight. But that's the best we can do with this featherweight division. And I respect Bellator for trying to put this fight on. I like that the girls had heat. I think it was something they had to do, but again, that just, I don't know, these Bellator cards just have these weird feels to them at the end. Like, really go back the last 10 cards. There's just so much of this going on that, and it wasn't, actually, Bellator kind of used to be the opposite. I remember back when they were tournament style, every other week, weren't we saying, oh my God, that was an amazing fight. It was insane. I don't know what happened. I don't know if too much focus got put on trying to sign former UFC people and maybe overpaying them, that every card you just get like one fight where you're like, okay, I'm kind of interested in that. And then it doesn't play out. So the whole card stinks. Or they have these younger talent fighters, like an Aaron Pico, like an AJ McKee, that they groom for so long that sometimes you're watching them and you're going, man, this guy's just beating up on fools. Like, they're just handing them souls. It's this weird recipe that Scott Coker's come up with that, to me, is kind of un-Scott Coker-esque.
Yeah. Well, they do have some mismatches. They don't have a deep roster. And not a lot of us invest in all 7 hours or whatever it is that they're on the air. We just kind of show up to the main card. So now you got three fights in this case, or four or five, to impress us rather than 12 or 13, because the UFC, people want to see the whole show. And I don't know. Now, I don't even know if I want to say they better figure it out, because I don't even know if they're going to be in business soon.
That's the other thing.
301's in Chicago in November. We heard that 302 is already in the works, but really, it's like, let's just get the 301 and figure it out. We'll get to Scott in just a second. Let's talk about the main event. Usman Nurmagomedov versus Brett Primus. Okay, so I caught a little heat on Instagram today. I said that Cyborg versus Cat should have been the main event. People called me casual. People said no one tuned in for the ladies. Everyone tuned in for Usman. And I get it. Most of the time you're arguing with kids or passionate fans of the Russian fighters. That's what I've heard before. I think Dan Tom tells me that. Oh, boy, you say something wrong, they come after you. Man, I couldn't be more impressed with Usman Nurmagomedov. I think he's brilliant. He can wrestle like the Nurmis can, like the Dagestanis can. But he's actually a really, really fun fighter to watch with the stand-up. So let's get that out of the way. But Primus, who is a former champion, tough guy, probably deserved to be there. He just doesn't move the needle. So now you got a promotion that's in limbo that doesn't promote, doesn't go over with the fans to begin with. And you have two fighters that aren't well known unless you're a real hardcore. And of those hardcores, even then you're pressed to like a matchup where one guy's like a minus 1700 favorite. It's just hard to get into. Why would you make that the main event? I you know, if you stopped everyone that came out of that arena in San Diego after the fights and said, hey, tell me something about Cyborg or Cat. And then tell me something about Usman or Magomedov or Brett Primus. They tell you way more things about Cyborg or Cat. They're more popular. They're more marketable. I'm not saying they're better fighters than the male thing. I'm not even trying to make it a female thing or nothing. It's just that really should have been the main event. Now, someone at the arena told me people started leaving after the Cyborg fight. But, you know, it had been a long night. Who knows, right? So Nurmi goes out there and put on a clinic. Brent had a couple moments, but for the most part, it was a clinic. And then when it was all over, they brought the three champions out and Scott Coker, and confetti came down. They're trying, man. Veltor's trying. You see the picture, and it should look more cool than it is to have the three champions there and Scott doing the point. But I don't know. At that point, I guess I was a little bitter at the matchmaking or bitter that the fighters didn't also do a better job of delivering, I guess. Cyborg communicates okay. Usman Nurmagomedov at least tries. He's not charming though, like Khabib was, but he speaks English. He tries a little.
He's a little funny at times,
I guess, but I don't know. That wasn't just. I couldn't wait to change the channel and watch the USC Trojans. I just did this because it was my job, but I was just like, I don't know. I wasn't oohing and awing. I wasn't like, ooh, wee, man. Like, wow. You know, texting a buddy or nothing. I don't know. It just that's how Bellator kind of leaves me sometimes. And it sucks because Mauro gives the show so much energy. John, so much knowledge. The camera crew, they gave you some great, great shots inside because it's a white canvas. It pops pretty good. They're trying. They're spending some money. They got some stars out, you know, MMA stars out there that they put the camera on at times. But it just can't seem to get over, man, and it really, really sucks.
Yeah, and that's a good point is, like, part of the reason it hurts is you know that Scott Coker's a real fight fan. He's been way even before Strikeforce, man, you know, K-1. He's been doing this just about his entire life, and he tries so hard. You know, who would have ever thought Fedor on American soil, you know, other than Pride 32? He goes out and he tries to get some of these guys, Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva, Tito Ortiz. Like, he really does try. Having Mauro Ranallo call fights, like, that dude's attached to greatness. John McCarthy, you're right. Like, he really does try. It just hasn't worked out lately. And this one probably stung a little bit, I would imagine. And him not being able to give an answer on the question that everybody keeps asking, you could just see the frustration for him as well.
Yeah, exactly. He couldn't really give too much of an answer. And to be fair, he did make one interesting point. He said, hey, look, when it was Strikeforce, I was a part owner. Him and Silicon Valley Events or something like that, officially they were called, they were owners. And
I'll pull back the curtain a little bit here. George is starting to get sick. And actually, before this show started, he sounds way worse now. Like, I think you're gradually, this is...
I'm dying.
Yeah, this is hitting you pretty bad.
So Scott Coker says, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknowns around the company. And it's so true. But then he says, look, I'm not the owner. The owners are Paramount. I guess they're the owners now. They used to be Viacom. And so it's really up to them to comment. You know, I am the president. I know you want answers, but you have to understand my position versus when I was at Strikeforce. And I appreciated him doing that because it's true. When you are the owner, you can go a bit more further with what you want, you know, want to release. And, you know, he's just a little handcuffed. He says, we'll see where the future goes as far as if a deal is going to happen or not going to happen. These things take time, and until the time gets solidified, it's just speculation. Now, I'll say this goes. I thought that was brilliant in a way, because now my criticism goes towards Paramount. Hey, shit or get off the pot. Decide what you want to do, because this is affecting that guy, the matchmakers, the fighters, everyone that's attached to Bellator. They need to know, like, well, what's going to happen? Are we going to merge with PFL? Are we going to be run under the PFL umbrella but still stay Bellator? Everyone keeps their jobs. Is there someone else that could possibly be interested in buying our roster? Are we now one championship family? Has the UFC secretly made a move? What is going on? Like, how can you want to fly to Chicago and watch the event or sit down and watch the event when it just doesn't seem like none of this matters anymore? Like, you know, I mean, I hope they finish the Grand Prix, but what if they don't even finish the Grand Prix? We're down to Chabali versus Pitbull in Chicago, and then the winner is supposed to fight Usman for $1 million and the title shot. Will we even get there? Who knows?
Better. There's $1 million on the line, right?
I know. So, and here's the other thing. I think the UFC has distanced themselves so much that when you have like Bobby Green beat Grant Dawson, you can honestly say, wow, Grant Dawson had won 6 in a row or whatever he was at. This ruins his chances. He was creeping up on Islam Makhachev. Islam Makhachev went to through Bobby Green to get to the title shot. Maybe Grant Dawson can do that. Like, you're connecting the dots with the title shot, the number one guy at 155 pounds. With Usman, it's tough to do because, okay, he bet Primus. He beat Primus, who was a champ a while ago. And he could get the winner of Chabali versus Pitbull. And Pitbull's a former champ, and he's talked about retiring. And who's Chabali again? Like, there's no dots to connect. Even with Bobby Green, you're like, well, he won 2 in a row. He just finished Dawson. And somebody brought up maybe he could fight Michael Chandler if Conor McGregor's going to be out too long. That way Chandler can stay busy. That'd be a great fight. We all get excited. Like, there's this pyramid of the lightweight division, all the divisions in the UFC, with all the names, and we're all familiar with them, and we know these moving pieces. With Bellator, it's too hard to do it because we don't have the time or the interest to get invested in what their pyramid scheme is to get to the top.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying as a fan. I got to imagine being a fighter employed there, having to put up with this, not really knowing what's going on. Things are just a mess over there right now, dude.
Yeah. We'll move to the UFC in just a second, but this was interesting. And it doesn't happen too often, but we got the salaries for the fighters over at Bellator 300. It's pretty easy. So I'm not going to waste too much time. But basically, the 6 fighters in the main card, they all made $150,000. Primus, Nurmagomedov. So no bonus for Nurmagomedov. He just made $150,000. So did Primus. Cyborg made $300,000 up front. Zingano, $150,000 like the other two. Carmouche, $150,000. And Elimelech, $150,000 like the others. So 5 of them made $150,000, Cyborg $300,000. Honestly, that sounds about right to me. I think she's probably the biggest seller.
Yeah.
She used to live in San Diego. We all know who she is. Her and Kat had heat. All right, let's do it. One other one, only because I find it interesting. Looked like Sarah McMahon and Leah McCourt both made 30 grand, but Leah McCourt took home an extra 30 for her win bonus. So that was pretty fair, I guess. Kai Kamaka, 38 and 38. He took home 76. Henry Corrales goes home with 50. And why that's big is because it went to a split decision. But there you have it. I mean, if you go to MMA Junkie, we had the salaries up there if you want to check them out. Yes, some fighters do fight for about 4,000. I see a 5,000. I see a 7,500. Well, there's a lot of 50s and 75s and 23s and whatevers. But there you have it. That was Bellator 300. 301 doesn't look so bad. They already started promoting it. And it I would go to it, honestly, if it was in San Diego. Well, you know, consider going, I should say, the same way I considered this one. It has Yaroslav Amosov, their welterweight champ, who's undefeated against Jason Jackson. He's earned it. Sergio Pettis versus Patchy Mix. You got undisputed versus interim. And Rafion Stotts, former champ, former interim champ, sorry, against Sabatello, who is a big mouth. Everyone likes to see him fight. AJ McKee's back. He fights Sydney Outlaw. McKee's great, but Outlaw, he's been around. No disrespect. Pitbull versus Chavali. That's the last semifinal there. So that's not bad on paper. Daniel James, big dude from Chicago. He fights Ali Aziev from PFL. Marcelo Gold versus Tyrell Fortune. Juliana Velasquez is back. Yeah, there you have it. What do you think?
Decent card. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. UFC time goes or what?
Yeah, let's do the UFC next.
All right. So their fight card was as follows. UFC Fight Night 229. Headlined by Bobby Green and Grant Dawson. Not much to say there. Bobby Green knocked him out in the first minute of the first round of their fight. He landed a straight left and then some follow-ups. And that was it. They never even hit the ground other than that. So congrats to Bobby Green. He used a left hand to do it. He usually stands orthodox, so he switched his stance. And Grant Dawson took it on the chin. Took it like a champ, clapped for the other guy. They had a little heat going into the fight, primarily at the weigh-ins and stuff. Bobby Green, I guess, didn't like maybe some interview or some comments that Dawson had made. And Dawson just never got his game going, goes. Shout out or props to Bobby Green, right?
Yeah, Bobby Green had a very good performance. I mean, Grant Dawson, I think a lot of people were saying, well, why didn't he wrestle? Like, you just don't run out of the gate. Like, this isn't UFC 40 and just dive at somebody's legs. Like, you do have to strike for a little bit. And he just got caught, man. It wasn't the hardest punch in the world. It just landed right on the button. And it's unfortunate because Grant was in a very good position, I think, he had a lot of momentum. And I hope Bobby Green ate that momentum. I hope that people realize that a Grant Dawson win is very, very good for his career. I hope he gets that kind of credit, because I think that's what Bobby Green is lacking, is some of the credit that he deserves. Like, the last two fights, finishes, man. That's a big deal. So going forward, I mean, I wish more of that fight would have played out. I'm not saying Grant Dawson takes it for sure, but I just think it had the potential to be a very fun fight. And in a way, it was almost a letdown. I know that we're going to sound like the harshest critics here, because people are probably thinking, what do these guys want, man? Like, Gladiator to the death? I just wish that fight would have played out more, because their skills were incredible. You know, they're just kind of tailor-made for each other, that type of fight. So it's unfortunate that it ended so quickly, but that's great for Bobby Green, you know. And as I said in the press conference, there's room on that December card. Maybe you can get in there and get one more. That'd be fun.
Yeah. If it's a big name and it's worth it, go for it. He didn't take much damage here. So I've seen a few fighters attempt to take a lot of fights in the air, and sometimes it blows up in their face. So just make sure it's a good decision. I agree. Look, I'll take the win the way it was. But what I like is when both guys have gotten to show off their arsenal, at least their main strength ones. What I mean by that is, had Dawson tried to get him down, and let's say got him down, and Green either stuffed it, or if he got taken down, got up from it, then knocked him out, then I have a little bit more of a satisfaction, because both guys did something, right? But yeah, Dawson never got his game going. But that's not Green's fault. He caught him before he got before Dawson got going. So props to him. In the co-main event, Joe Pfeiffer, man, this dude's a savage. He beat Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, technical submission, arm triangle. But man, when they were striking, it was impressive. And Pfeiffer was the impressive one. He's fast, strong, and he's tough, dude.
Dude, that performance, like, he was a savage. He was a total savage out there. The punches that he was throwing with the strength that he had behind him, where he was throwing them from, his intelligence in the ring generalship, like he kind of had it all in that fight. And even afterwards, you could see the emotion just pouring out of him. That poor doctor just wanted to get a word with him. He was out there screaming. But that's what makes you remember him. Like people who maybe don't tune into every UFC, probably going to remember this guy, and they're probably going to want to see him again. So props to him. Good win. Again, it's one of those situations where, like, I hope he gets the props that he deserves, because that's not an easy opponent, and people don't really do that to him the way Pfeiffer did. So great win for him.
Yeah, he was starting to take a few leg kicks, but Pfeiffer fought through that. But you could tell he was starting to limp a little. His left leg, he was starting to pick it up. And, you know, so he did experience a little adversity, and he overcame it. Joaquin Buckley looked amazing, man. For 15 minutes with that physique, he went strong against Alex Morano, who's a tough customer, a tough out. He won 30-27, 30-27, 30-26 across the board. I did not think he could do that. I thought he'd be closer. Yeah. And I thought maybe dropping down to welterweight, he might struggle a little bit, because, again, he's just a finely tuned machine. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be Joe Rogan 15 years ago, but there is some truth to a lot of buff guys don't have cardio, but, man, Buckley does.
That's what stood out the most to me, was just how could he keep that pace nonstop? He had no fear. That's a good performance. That's something that makes you want to see him again, and hopefully we do. And I love the confidence from him. I think that dude, I don't know that he could be a star, but maybe in a couple fights, he could be kind of in that position that a Bobby Green is in, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I guess he'll stay there. And like I say, he got a lot of praise from the commentators. So let's see. Let's see what kind of a future he has as a welterweight. Drew Dober, who was the last guy to finish Bobby Green 3 fights ago, he defeated Rick Glenn. He starched him, too. shout out to Drew Dober. Easy win in round 1. Bill Algeo defeated Alexander Hernandez. Kind of dominated him, though, but there was some eye pokes, some questionable thumbs in the eye. Although it never came up afterwards, and Hernandez lost with class. He, you know, plotted for his guy. I think when he'll go back, he might have some problems with it, though. Let's follow him on social media and see if he says anything. But Aljo looked good, man. He's tall, lanky, hard to get a hold of, and he can hit you when you least expect it, because he has this unorthodox way of ducking and going forward or backward and weird angles, but it's impressive.
Yeah, that's the thing. Those fights, like, you know, the last 3 that we named off, those aren't guys that really collect gigantic paychecks, but they're entertaining. And that's kind of, you know, not to go back and beat on the poor guys, but that's what I think Bellator is missing. Those types of fights that keep you wanting to watch the entire card, invest all that time into it. I think they just put too much money into some of these stars that are a little bit aging, or maybe they just collect that big paycheck and they're just kind of over it. But you look at a guy like Pfeiffer, like, that dude's hungry. Buckley is hungry. Like, they want to be there. They want to put on a great performance. They want to cash big checks. I love that, man. I love that about the middle of this card.
Yeah, I agree. There's like a path that those fighters take, and you're familiar with it. So it's easy to pair them up with someone who just fought a week ago or 2 weeks ago. There's just this bigger spotlight on Twitter and Instagram where it's like this cohesion of names, you know, where you can mix and match. Unless you're a hardcore fan, it's tough to name five fighters from every Bellator division. They don't have that depth, but really, even if they got the depth, what they lack is the ability to attract you to memorize the depth and get excited about it. And I know it sounds like we're talking on both sides of our mouths. We don't want more Bellator shows. We just want more stack shows. We can't, until they catch the UFC, we don't want more Bellator shows. We just want more stack shows so that when we do invest time, we're gushing over the depth of the card and how good it is or whatever. But I'm starting to think that I have a fond appreciation for all these major belts that have ever been a part of the history of MMA. Invictus, WECs, Prides, everything. But at this point in time, other than me being happy for fighters that get paid, I'm happy that they have their belts to look back on. But I just find it hard-pressed that even those fighters won't say their dreams to win a UFC title. That's just, it's like anybody that plays football, you want to win a Super Bowl, you want to play in the NFL. But look, 30 years in, I guess we're still figuring things out. I don't know. Here's the rest of the card. Karolina Kowalkiewicz, who, by the way, seemed to lose a lot of relatives in the last few months, so our best to her and her family. She defeated Diana Velveeta. Nate Maness defeated Mateus Mendoza. Mendoza. Vanessa Demopoulos defeated Kanako Murata. Ariel Link defeated Johnny Munoz Jr. And J.J. Aldrich defeated Montana De La Rosa. Fight of the night, no bonus. But they gave four performance of the nights. Bobby Green, Joe Pfeiffer, Drew Dober, Nate Maness. Any thoughts on those prelims or the bonuses, goes?
I thought that those made sense. I really love this girl, and I don't want to like shit on her. But Vanessa Demopoulos, I'm going to have to go back and watch that fight. Because even she was kind of like surprised that she won at first. Then she kind of clarified things by saying, well, I was striking from the bottom. I'm going to have to go back and watch that. But I remember being very shocked by that decision.
I didn't see it, so you got me there. I was on such a high. I had the most incredible weekend where Modern Day won their game, USC won their game, the 49ers won their game, and Manchester United pulled one out at the last minute. So I had a lot of sports to watch, and I did not watch that one. I watched most of these fights. Well, I watched the Bellator main card and most of the UFC card, but that particular one I didn't watch. And yes, I am fighting what's now turning into be a pretty bad cold. So, anyway, I like Vanessa. She's cool. But, you know, I find her to be like top 30, top 40 strawweight, probably top 30. So, I'm not too worried about it. You're just going to have to miss some from time to time. I don't think she'd be offended to hear that. Let's go to these interviews that we have. Calvin Kattar and Rob Font. We'll set that up. And then you can hear a conversation that we recently had with them here at the Sticky Paw Studio in Las Vegas. A lot was addressed. Want to welcome Calvin Kattar and Rob Font to the show. What's up, guys?
How you doing? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How about you guys?
Good.
Hanging you just in there. Signed for Austin, Texas, right?
I did.
Davison Figueiredo, he's moving up. You're going to welcome him to bantamweight.
Bring him up, man. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited it's in Austin. I heard it at first was being Minnesota. I was like, I did not want to go to Minnesota.
How come? Because it's cold?
Just didn't want to go cold to cold. You know, I just rather have a little heat. I'm still going to be a little nippy there, but it's not Minnesota, you know. And Yeah, I just said I've been to the town, the city before. There's a lot of there's a lot to do out there, so I was excited. You know, once they said they announced it's gonna be awesome.
Where are you guys on the card? Are you the main event or?
I don't think it's the main event. Definitely three round. I could be. I think Moreno might be the main event. I'm not sure though, but I think okay. I think that's what I heard. But another three round fight, another war, another ex champion, another big fight. So I'm excited. I was like. You know, we asked for this fight after the Adrian Yanez fight, and obviously didn't have, from what I heard, he was still staying at 25. So, but then I guess he's coming back up.
He can't decide. He's wanted to go up and stay down and go up and stay down. I don't know. Figgy's kind of a trip a little bit, honestly. But you know, respect. He was a world champ at one point. I guess he's figured I'm done with the weight cut. Now we'll see what he can do at 35.
Yeah. I mean,
he's got a monster ahead of him. I appreciate you. You've been there for a long time at 135 pounds.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I like it. I like it. You know, he has that. Yeah, he's vicious. He has that Brazilian, I'm coming to knock your head off kind of style. Solid guillotine. You know, ex champion, back to back wars. You know, like he's tough. It's not an easy fight at all. Obviously, none of these fights are. Big name, talks a lot of shit. You know, he's gonna.
Has he already started chirping at you?
No, okay. not yet. But
you've seen it all at this point, right? You've had those guys. You've actually shut up some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like it when it's funny, you know, like when it makes sense. When you're like, all right, that was kind of good, you know. But when it's just like, say, no, I'm gonna kill you, like, all right, come on, man, like. But when it's funny, it's just hilarious, a little witty. I kind of get behind it. But when it's just act like you're gonna do something, like we're gonna be in the same hotel, bro. I'm gonna see you at the PI. You know, it's like, come on, man. Like, you're not doing that, but you know. But I think, you know, he's gonna bring some excitement to the fight. You know, pre-fight and you know, he's gonna have Cejudo with him. I'm assuming, so they're gonna do their thing.
Has being a father changed you at all in any way when it comes to mixed martial arts?
I would say I'm trying to, like, in this session, I'm trying to get the most I can done just to get home, just to see her, you know. So I'm trying to be a little more efficient with my time, trying to make sure, you know, like, I'm not rushing through it just to get out, but I'm getting that quality work. And then I'm like speeding home just to see her, because like, it's just watching her is the best thing ever, you know. Like, I say it all the time. I thought fighting was cool, but becoming a father was definitely one of the best things I've ever done.
Are you surprised that somebody even wants to go up to your division? Your division is an absolute nightmare filled with killers. If I was his manager, I'd go, are you sure? Like, am I reading this?
I never imagine making 25. So I think it's more of like the weight cut. You know, I don't think it's necessary. I think he still wants to fight. I just don't think he wants to make that weight cut. But then, yeah, man, like coming up to 35 division is definitely hard, because everybody from the top 10 to 15 is a tough fight, you know. And they're all killers, and everybody's big, everybody's long, everybody's like, it's just a tough division, you know. It's one of those things. Like, I say it all the time, man. MMA's, or fighting in the UFC, is probably the hardest thing I've ever done, and it's so hard to stay consistent.
That first fight going in there, sometimes we refer to it as almost getting into a new car. It takes you a second to kind of like figure it out. How much can I push the gas? Yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Is it almost an advantage getting him in here on that first fight when he's going up?
I hope so. You know, I hope so. I think it's, the range is going to be different. I'm assuming he's going to be a little quicker, so I got to adapt to that too. You know, I think I'm going to be a lot longer than him, a lot quicker than him, a little more polished with the striking. I'm assuming he's going to be shooting. I'm assuming he's going to be trying to chop my leg down. I guess you would say, I think he's going to have to figure his way out. I just got to make sure I don't let him kind of get his rhythm going in that first round, especially leading into that second round.
That Yanez fight, man, that was something amazing. We like both of you guys. We've had you guys both in studio.
Yeah.
But would you consider that like one of your best performances ever?
Hell yeah. I would say, yeah. It was especially the way, you know, the two before that kind of played out. I was coming back. I just had my daughter, first time fighting in front of fans in a couple fights. I think the last time I fought in front of fans was the Ricky Simone fight. I believe that was 2019. So it's been a while. I was in Miami. The place was packed.
Good card too.
Yeah, another solid card, pay-per-view, and come out there. And you know, and then there was obviously a lot of questions, a lot of haters, a lot of people kind of writing me off. Adrian kind of writing me off at the same time. It was kind of blew my mind. I was sitting there like, he's talking about fighting Sean O'Malley before even and like that doesn't even make sense because like, even if you say that he does win, like I don't even see him getting a title shot after if he did beat me. So it was like, all right, man, I'm gonna pull up something extra on this. That did feel a little disrespectful, but it was like, then I was like, maybe he's just young, you know, maybe he's just young. They got cameras in front of him. He got to say something, right? And it's like, all right, you know, I don't completely write this kid off. I'm like, you know, but just kind of like, what are you doing? Like, you're out there having this whole like media day about fighting O'Malley, and it's kind of like, all right, man. I was playing it, whatever. You know, I was even trying to like, you know, like, because then I was like, if you break it down, you look at it and look at the guys he's fought and the records and the guys, and it's kind of like, bro, like you doing your thing. And I'm not saying you're not. You know, I'm like, you're finishing fights and you're doing your thing, but it's like, look what you're doing. And it's kind of like, all right, man, let's do this. And he was quick, man. He was quick. He was doing his thing. He caught me with a couple. I believe it was a right hand, a clean right hand. I could feel the speed. I could feel where he's at, but he was just there for me. And I was like, all right, like I know where you're gonna. Even if you touch me, I know where you're gonna be. And I eventually caught up to him. Eventually, I started finding my jab. I caught him with that like kind of collar tie, and I just ripped the uppercut, and he fell back, and it was it. It was over. I just kind of jumped on him.
I'm gonna fill you two in on a little secret.
Go.
One of the reasons you guys are some of our favorite fighters is because you're both, you haven't changed. In the years that we've known you, you guys are the same guys, and you're very human.
Thanks,
that
man.
Being said, after the Yanez fight, did you almost feel for him a little bit just because you've probably gone through some of the things that he's gone through? Did you get a chance to talk to him at all? Or
not really. You know, like quick, you know, good job type of thing. No, but I know what it is, man. I know, like, he's on a tear. I think every single fight he bonused. He's never been knocked down or even knocked out, you know. So like thinking like you know pay per view. It's you know he got the suit at the press conference. You know, it's like he's doing. It's like everything you want. But then it's like, you know, this game is brutal, man. Like
so kind of like a movie, huh?
Yeah, but it's like it's brutal. And I just all and not just taken away, but it all just stops real quick. And it's like then at that he gets finished, and it's kind of like. Man, obviously I'm gonna have to do it to you, but like, I know what that feels like, and it's kind of like that's where it's kind of like, man, I'm not speaking for him, but then like you probably look back and you kind of regret maybe those interviews you were doing about talking to O'Malley or and it's like some of the stuff that didn't even make sense. It was kind of like again maybe just you put a mic and a camera in front of somebody's face, they gotta say something, and I'm assuming that's what he was doing, but. I don't know, but like for a second you do kind of, you know, feel bad for like that. Not necessarily like me hitting him, but more like how damn he was on a tear and then just stopped for a second. And like, and obviously he'll get back there doing it, but like it just kind of put a halt to all his like plans. His girl, if he has a girl, or his family's plans, everything just kind of halts for a second.
Yeah.
Boston finisher. How you doing?
The Boston finisher. Let's go.
I'm doing good.
So you know what I'm going to start off with, you know, you're up to at the plate. Here comes the fastball. Update us on your knee.
Thought we were playing baseball for a second.
Of course, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good. Yeah. How you been? Did you have a great summer?
Yeah, things are great.
Yeah, we haven't seen you, you know, in a minute.
Yeah, knee's great.
I think we're pushing a year. So.
Yep, yeah, just about had happened October, I want to say 30th, and then I had surgery about a month and a half later, and I think we're about 10 months and like something like that out from surgery. So feeling good and hopefully be back in there soon, I'm thinking.
Like 2024 at this point, right?
I'm not ruling anything out. I'm just staying ready. Tyson's working on something. I know we were talking about December maybe, but.
Oh, if they holler at you, you're ready for December?
Well, part? I mean, Rob's fighting the second. Now it's kind of like shifted. I think it'd either be the second or bust maybe, you know, because fighting 2 weeks after that. I'm going to be in Austin, too. And after the last fight, I never got to try Tyson's tacos. So these guys were eating all week, man. Good, man, bringing home. And then after, yeah. So I got some place I got to visit in Texas anywhere we'll go.
Okay. But the update is that you're ready.
Yeah, yeah. Ready.
Looking and, sharp, too.
Getting back, yeah.
Looking sharp,
getting back,
man.
Feeling good.
Good. Yeah, I was bummed out for both of you guys. By the way, if you guys haven't seen me in a while, I have a little facial paralysis. But I'm trying to get through it, so hopefully you guys understand me and just ask me to repeat in case you don't.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. I want to ask you, I was really bummed out, we both were, that you guys didn't fight in Boston. You were scheduled to, but they moved you up.
Yeah.
So, and then Calvin was hurt. We were trying to do the timeline in our head, late October, how quick did he get his surgery? How quick was the rehab? Can he get in there in time? But it did look like it would be a little cutting it too close.
Yeah, it got me motivated as hell, though, especially when Rob was supposed to be on it. Really was getting me motivated, and then they pushed it back to Nashville, and then everything kind of just, slowed down a little from there. If it ain't Boston, then we'll take our time with it.
Right. And there's a lot of people that have said, you know, honestly, I'm not that crazy about fighting at home, but it sounds like you two were down with it.
I mean, first time worked out great. It was like probably one of the best, I'd say, fight nights that we had, you know, at home after the debut, and couldn't even sleep that night. Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy time. So I'd love to repeat that.
So now, where would you like to fight? A fight night built around Calvin Kattar, a pay-per-view featured on a main card. Do you want to fight on the same card as the champ, just so you're on the same timeline? What is your preference? I like to lob the question that way because I want fighters to get what they want. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not down with hearing whatever the UFC wants, only because we've done this for so long. What we've noticed is towards the end of their careers, fighters are like, man, you know, like, You can see that you might not have as much time, and now you wish you would have maybe stood up for yourself a little bit more. So that's why I don't mean to be pushy.
No, we were talking about it actually on the ride here, which is funny you brought it up, you know, what we would like to do. And I'm really open to either. Mm-hmm. Like when you fight at the Apex and it's a main event, there's a little bump in the pay. And it's slight. And okay. then it's like, you know, more press, more exposure. That's always good, but the apex, you know, and especially going out for Rob's last couple of fights. Miami was crazy. Nashville was crazy. Like hearing that crowd, there's really nothing better than that. So if that's a consolation on a big card somewhere on the card, you know, it's good exposure there too. And 3-round fight, I'm down.
What about overseas? The other day, Kevin Holland was saying, I didn't want to fight in Australia because unless taxes. You guys pay my taxes.
Yes,
we were all thinking like, well, it must be pretty bad, but we had no idea. Then John McDessie, I don't know if you guys saw, released his pay from going to Australia, and there was a 45% tax. So he lost his fight by, I think, split decision or something. He was supposed to, I think his show was 60, but like he came on with less than half of that. That's he's tough. A vet, man. Yeah. He's put in some time. That's, you know, tough. What I mean?
I
see Holland's point. In saying pay my taxes or give me a bump to cover this. How do you guys feel about fighting overseas?
I personally don't like it. Like, I don't know. I don't like the long flight. I like to stay in the States, you know, like and then obviously the taxes are rough. So
if they cover them though, you would still fall back on, I just don't like the long flight. I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, to be fair, Singapore gave the Korean Zombie an awesome exit. They were loud. They brought it. Paris was pretty loud. Yeah. They brought it. So some of the overseas stadiums are pretty nice too.
Yeah, next time if I fight out of country, then it would be like I gotta be prepared to stay there for some time after. But that's always tough to plan on too, because sometimes if you catch, you know, a bad night, you're like, man, fuck this place.
I'm getting out of here. I hate this town.
Yeah, right.
What's a city that you love because of the whole experience? Probably, you know, obviously winning a fight and just being treated well.
Chicago.
Can you think of one that's
Chicago? Man. Plus they had deep dish.
Chicago was solid. Nice.
Chicago was solid. Here we go. Deep dish, you like it, huh?
Performance. You know what I mean? We had a good performance. Got out healthy. I pushed my flight back to Tuesday. It was kind of earlier in my career. I'm like, hey, I don't even know how it's gonna work out. I was always like, didn't want to push back the flight because what happens, you know, especially my style, sometimes get split up. You might hopefully be going to the hospital, but in Chicago, I just banked on leaving on Tuesday. Got a quick finish, and hit a whole bunch of deep dish spots our game at the stadium, Cub Stadium. Nice. So yeah, we got to see a lot of cool things when we were out there.
Can it hang with Fenway, the historical Wrigley Field?
It was very
cool.
Yeah, it was up there. But
putting all our biases
like
to the side,
never be Fenway, but it was really cool to be there.
Yeah,
it was good.
Why won't it beat Fenway? Like, because they're both pretty old, you know, like they have history.
I'm biased.
Oh, the bias. So it's pretty close though, other than the bias.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we got the Green Monster too.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Have you ever had your status as a well-known fighter ever allowed you to take batting practice?
Not yet.
Be in the dugout area or anything like that?
Not yet.
First pitch?
We didn't do that yet. We went to one of the games though, for one of the UFC countdown shows. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. But not yet.
Would you guys want to do the first pitch? Can you guys make it to the plate? No problem. Or would it be a little embarrassing?
I think I'd be
all right. Because to be fair, MMA athletes that have thrown the first pitch have not impressed me at all.
Yeah, no. We were just talking about this not too long ago too. Like, we were talking about how bad 50 Cent did. It was
Yeah,
that
but
was a bad one.
Yeah, did you ever see Frank Trigg do it? He's our old co-host.
Was it bad?
Well, following him was Zora the Explorer. What's her name?
Yeah, Dora the Explorer. Dora the Explorer. She's in her costume. She threw a strike. He barely made it to the plate.
Oh yeah, man. So, something about the way you guys are built. You know, you're so used to like hooks and uppercuts, and then all of a sudden when you got to do this wind up and throw, it's just the worst thing you've ever seen.
It honestly looks.
I think I could throw like if somebody said, "Hey, throw a hand grenade," I think I would. Probably it almost look like how an MMA athlete looks throwing from the mound.
It almost seems like they didn't even try to practice beforehand. Some of
these
guys.
It's
like,
that's the other thing.
Unless it's like on the spot, hey, go do this. Like I would have been.
Don't go to the mound. Just go to the beginning of the dirt. Don't go to the mound.
You got to do the mound. You have one shot to do this in front of
everyone. You got to make it legit.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah. That's where the struggle becomes because now all of a sudden you guys think you think you're Curt Schilling and you're not. You know what I mean? You're not Pedro Martinez over here. I want you guys to have a good look. But all right, I guess maybe not hit them up. Do you have a name that you'd like to fight?
No, not really.
You hate that when they ask you?
I don't
you,
hate or? It. I don't really focus on that. Just staying ready, being the best version of myself or whoever we fight, we just adapt. Mm-hmm. It keeps my job simple, man. You know, I don't really worry about the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you're going to hit them anyway, all of them, eventually?
Yeah, whatever order is going to, you know, it is what it is, but... really, ideally, like what I would be most in favor of is fighting up and then trying to, you know, anything that gets you closer to the title, things like that.
Someone you haven't fought, or would you, open to running it back against anyone?
No, I'd love to give you something to talk about on that, man. I really don't care. It's just kind of ideally if we can fight up and something that'll get you to the title faster. That's like what I would prefer. But other than that, it's whoever.
I'm going to spin his question a little bit, all right? Because we're sneaky. All
right. Good cop, bad cop. I don't know which one's which, though.
At the top is Alexander Volkanovski. Do you kind of like the fact that there's a guy that's been reigning for a while and you could possibly get to him and you're the one that derails him? Or does it not matter who's up there when you get there?
I mean, if it is him, which, you know, he's shown that it might be, I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, who was it? Anytime like you can get the opportunity to say it's Alex, great. Like you have an opportunity to do something that really no one else has been able to do. And it does make it a little bit more special. But at the end of the day, I'm just trying to get that shot. So whoever gets me there, so be it.
When you get there, is there a representation of you, a past fight where you say that Calvin Kattar shows up, unstoppable? I'm going to ask you the same question because I know you know the answer.
Nobody beats this Canelo. Nobody beats this one. I feel like I'm the best I've ever been, you know, feel like training's at a great point. Obviously setbacks happen on the way, but that only kind of hardwires me more. I think right now is the best version of myself.
I'm going to play matchmaker and then you can just tell me, kick me if you don't like what I'm saying and we'll change the subject or like Ghost is blink twice and I'll pivot. You versus Yair in Mexico.
Me versus who, Yair?
In Mexico. Would you do that one?
Yeah, Mexico's not too far. I've actually never been.
Okay, so for Mexico, they got pollution.
Yeah.
They got altitude.
They got cartels.
They got cartels as well. Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that. They might actually take you in, or if it's a rival, you could just say, hey, we're like an affiliate.
I got to leave the cartel.
No, listen, that would be a big fight with a crowd. You know, you just said you were moved by the crowd at Rob's fights in Miami and in Tennessee. But it, Fabricio Werdum went there 2 months in advance before he fought Cain Velasquez. And he feels like that's what won it for him. And Cain went 2 weeks in advance. So that's a commitment that you have to make in that regard. Water, pollution, air pollution, the altitude, it's no joke. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think that would be tremendous. I just don't know if you want to be an away game, a spoiler of sorts, you know, or if you want to be like we're just talking about more on the domestic side. I can look for another name out there, but he doesn't seem to have anyone on his dance card and neither do you. And I think that would be, I mean, I know as a fan, whew, that would be money.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my first time traveling to enemy territory. You know, it doesn't really bother me either way. If I'm fighting somewhere else, I get a chance to earn the fans' respect, you know, at an away game. And I'm open to either. I'll play, you know, hero or villain.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like it.
We never checked in with you guys, but you guys aren't offended that we're wearing top-level team stuff, right? Like
West Coast top level.
We
can LA.
Go change. We got like
LA. We have got a, Boston hat on.
There's some Golden Knights stuff we could throw in back Golden there. Like, if you guys are uncomfortable or anything.
Have yeah, you guys gotten over the losses of the Bruins and the Celtics?
It's been bad.
Those guys were legit in the regular season, especially the Bruins. That had to be a tough one to take. And then the Celtics, we don't have much room to speak because the Lakers also went out.
Well, we just picked up Jrue Holiday, so we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, really? You got him?
Yeah. They just picked him up. Tatum, you know, Jalen. I think it's going to be a solid squad, man. So I think this is the year.
Do you guys follow the Celtics on all levels? Like, do you like their history at all?
Yeah, I mean, like, not, I'm not like the like. Give you exact stats and dates.
Here's a good show I think you should watch. I don't think you've watched it because it's more of a Lakers show, but the Celtics are talked about a lot and it's in a good light.
Winning time, have you seen it? I love how it's really done well, huh? Especially since they go into the Boston, because you can't talk about Lakers without mentioning Boston,
right,
vice versa. You gotta,
and all that stuff is kind of true. We used to hear that turn on the heat, you know, Ed awesome. Arbex played my Michael Chiklis, so you saw it all the way through.
Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it's done.
I know. Someone's got to pick it up.
Yeah.
Someone's got to pick it up.
I would honestly, like, if they did one on the Celtics, I would
watch
just
that too.
As much as watching the Lakers, if they did one on the Bad Boys, Detroit, all those, dude.
I was a secret Bird fan because I could appreciate how good he was, but I loved his intensity. What a winner he was. And they portrayed him very well in that series.
I love how, because, I mean, part of the stuff they had to tell you, no, this actually happened. Like, when he went on the court in his jeans and boots even, right? Jeans and boots, played with the college team there, beat them all. Put up, like, what, 50, 60 points?
He's too smooth,
crazy,
man. He's too smooth.
He's cocky. He could talk shit, yeah. That's right down my alley. I despise the Cowboys, too, but Michael Irvin's one of my favorite football players ever, and he played for the Cowboys. But I can appreciate, some, you know, a rival. If they know how to like play the game or whatever, but you haven't seen that series?
Not yet. I gotta catch up. He's been talking about it. We started the first episode and I just never kind of got into it, but I gotta catch up to it.
Combat Zone. You got something in November? I see, right?
November 18th. Yeah,
okay. And that's like the 82nd edition, I believe.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, we got a lot of top prospects on the card. A lot of cartel members on it too, right on the cusp. Hopefully, you know. Selfishly, I want him to stay as long as can. This card's gonna be stacked, man. But it's gonna be soon where, you know, hopefully they're gonna be at the get their opportunities. You know, we got a couple on the Contender Series from March on the past show. They're fighting Tuesday, Connor Matthews and Yuri Panfirov. So really excited about that, to be out here for their fight. And then we got like Brendan Marat, Tom Pags. When you start naming some, you got to try to name them all. Man, there's too many, honestly. Man, a lot of great guys on the team that are
shout
right
out to us. Nick.
Yeah, Nick Fury, he's fighting. Big comeback fight. You'd be seeing him back in the UFC in no time too, but really loving that role, and especially having made that walk to that cage through Combat Zone myself. Like, I love just getting a feel for it every, you know, quarter.
When do you think you'll get to Combat Zone 100? Is that like 2-3 years away still?
We're averaging like 4 to 6 a year right now, I want to say. So
yeah,
probably another 4 years or so, maybe a little less. Hopefully we pick it up even too, but yeah, it's really going great. I'm loving the opportunity to kind of try to help build these guys, and I try to do what I can fighting for the UFC. You get exposed to the highest level, so we just try to provide smoke and mirrors version of that, whatever we can do. But always fighters first, and yeah, the shows are a lot of fun.
Cool. All right. How about you? Would you ever do something like that?
Promote?
Promote, yeah.
Man, it's not easy,
doing
man.
It. Pettis is doing
it's not
it.
Easy, man.
Cater's doing it.
I see.
Bristol Marunde. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he was a Strikeforce and UFC guy. He had a show in the Northwest. We just haven't caught up with him in a while.
Yeah.
Because he had another show that took off. He was basically the Las Vegas version of what's the name of the show?
Flip or Flop.
You ever seen that on?
Yeah.
You've seen that?
Yeah.
So there's this popular couple in California that does it, and they picked a Vegas couple to do it, and Bristol is good at redoing houses, and him and his wife did it. Hasn't been on in a while, but I don't know if that stopped him from promoting. But he used to tell
man,
us,
I wouldn't just say, it's hard, man. It's a lot of juggling, I would say. Like, a lot of like putting out fires. Like, all I see Calvin's running around just putting out fires and trying to save as much as he can. So it's kind of like it's definitely interesting. I would love like to be able to give kids opportunities like the way he does. It's just, there's a lot. So I just can't be like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, like, nah, it's a lot more to it. So
a lot of respect for him and all the promoters out there.
Rob's got a great way of building a fighter. I'd love to see. I think his fighting is holding back his coaching career, man. Kids, that's what I feel. But we'll see. Time will tell that one. But
mm-hmm. How many have you done? How many have you been a part of for Combat Zone since the beginning?
Or I fought on 45, and that was the transition, or 44, and 45 was my first show. And, man, what a learning curve that was. Just because you fight doesn't mean you're ready for that. It's a whole nother beast. But I feel like I'm in a great place. Man, I've been, I have a great team around me that helps kind of take things over when I got fights. And we try to do our best to keep them away from when I'm fighting. But I love it, man. I feel like I'm leading from the front a little with that. But, 45. So this is about our, 37th show, actually, 37th show coming up, I want to say. Been doing it for a while, 10 years.
Where can we catch all these shows?
We have a stream on our website, czmma.com. We live stream from there, but working on getting
Fight Pass maybe one day.
I mean, possibly, but I got some other ideas as well. So open to really kind of a lot of things. I would definitely want to have that conversation with them soon, but right now just kind of liking having the options. But it's a lot of fun kind of doing that. It definitely put out a lot of fires, man. But at the end of the day, you get watch some fights.
What call do you hate the worst?
What call?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I get to a point where I just start laughing at the calls. It's like, what else? What else?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Hey, can you do this interview?
No, that's I love those, man. I don't mind those. It's more like I feel the worst when a fighter loses his fight because you're the bad guy either way. Yeah. I'm just glad I don't have to be the matchmaker anymore. When I was coming up, man, I was matchmaking, doing everything. Now I got a great matchmaker, Jerome Bashirs. He's killing it. Helps take that over. He's doing a great job. Fight card stack for November. But when I was getting those calls, it was a lot, you know. And then, like I said, both guys are like, "What the fuck?" They want their percentage. It's like, listen, man, my fight got moved from TD Garden to Palmy Suites for that damn fight. It's like, it's tough, man. You try to do what you can, and it's just a crazy business. But it's talk about an adrenaline rush, like a fight. You know, you kind of feel like you go to a fight camp, and then you have the fight, and then there's just that like relaxing day the next day where you're just like,
it's over.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, next
why do you do it? Is it just because it's lucrative, or is there something else that's appealing about it?
All of it, and even just kind of running a business, it's not easy, and I just kind of like that that whole process. I never want to be a white belt in business. I'm trying to like stay in it. It's been peaks and valleys, but I feel like post fighting, I'll really be able to. Which we're doing a great job picking things up a lot right now, but I could see myself really like enjoying that part of the game just afterwards. It's good to have the option. I kind of like playing that right now. But seeing these guys, like kind of like what Tyson said, man, I see these amateurs going to pros getting even the opportunities they're getting. I just love being a part of that too. It's fulfilling. It's cool. That's why we're just trying to grow as an organization to help get these guys to the next level.
I don't know if I ever told him that. I feel like I told another fighter who was a promoter this story. But again, bringing up Bristol Morundi, he was fighting for, remember when Strikeforce got bought out by the UFC?
Yep.
They were still doing some final Strikeforce shows just to finish out the contracts. I think he was fighting Brazil against Jacare or something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah.
And he's sitting in a sauna, and he gets a call from a fighter who goes, man, I just can't make the weight. Can we do a catch weight or whatever? And he's like, motherfucker,
I'm in a
sauna right now, and I'm fighting this Brazilian who's a former champion, and I'm on late notice. He goes, you think I got any fucking compassion for you? Like, it was so hilarious to hear him tell the story, and I guess that's what I was fishing for. Yeah. If you've ever gotten someone that where you could kind of say, bro, do you know who you're calling right now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not trying to hear certain excuses.
Yeah, we've been close to some fights, man. It drove me so crazy losing some of these fights. And then we've been down a short amount. And I'm like, fuck, I'll hop in, do an exhibition. The commission's saying you can't fight on your own card. I'm like, well, you can't do shit about an exhibition, right? I'm just trying to think about how I'm going to fill this room with some seats. And these guys got me going crazy. This was earlier, man. But, you get that all the time. Because, like I say, dealing with amateurs. But what I try to do is just deal with gyms that, you know, care about the athlete going in there and just kind of make sure you get all the stuff together. The people that make your job easier, man, you just try to gravitate towards, because some of the other ones, man, it's crazy. It gets worse as you get down to, you know, the beginning level. They don't know what to expect. They've never been through it. And you got to have a good coach kind of walk you through, get your medicals. I see some of these guys lose a fight over a medical, and it guts me. I'm like, damn, you just put through a whole fight camp, and you just couldn't.
How did they not know that?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's tough. I don't know. Some of them, it depends. It happens a lot less now. We have better systems as well, trying to, you know, get it going. But you can only do so much too. If a guy's being unresponsive, sometimes they're so in a camp, or maybe they want a way out. I don't really know. I stopped guessing. I just
has anyone ever played the leverage game? Like, let's say you're looking for someone late notice, and they're like, "Well, I'll do it if you."
Oh, I had some. Yeah, my first one was the worst one. I had three guys on the card, and then as the fight got closer, we had agreed on numbers, but he kind of tried leveraging me. I had three guys on the card, and it was already a limited amount of fights. I was like, I was gonna fly there, man. I was telling him, because like you said, you still kind of got it in you too, and this guy's talking shit, drive me crazy. I don't know. That's
yeah. You're gonna fly there to sort him out, or you're gonna fly there to negotiate, or just, what does that
I
mean?
Don't know. Just talk to him face to face. You know what I'm saying? Let him know. Like, don't talk to me like that. Have a face to face conversation. Talk about it. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, that was probably the hardest one. But from there, you know, just like he said, juggling.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys share a good street fight story with us?
Great street. I think Tyson's street story was awesome.
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Sometimes
I had some twists and turns. I'm thinking those guys are gonna jump out of the car finally. Yeah. Nope, they just still sat there. And then when they were at school, and the guy came up, oh, something's gonna go down here. And then 5 years later in the dressing room, like, oh man, but it had a pretty cool ending.
Good
point,
though. You said maybe the other guys, you know, didn't want to get suspended before states too.
Yeah, I was trying to save them, but I had a feeling they were pussies. And Tyson goes, yeah, they're kind of pussies.
Yeah, man. No.
How about you guys?
Oh man.
I had a couple, but I never started one.
Yeah,
no, I'll stick to that to this day. But
well, share one of those. Share the better one of the two.
Never any with Rob, but that would have been pretty cool. That would have been fun. Awesome.
Any at the TD Garden?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that during a so Patriots quick. Parade. It was after the Patriots Parade.
Okay,
yeah, that
let's
was
see.
A crazy one. Yeah, that was.
I saw one at the Patriots Parade.
This is probably like right around the time that flip phones even probably.
Bro, like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
So what happened? Leave no details out.
It was just a mess. People were mobbed from the Patriots Parade. You know, yeah. I don't know which one it was. There were so many.
You're waiting for them to come by, or they had already gone by? Oh, that's a good one. Slip that in there.
But it was packed, and we're trying to get to the train. And all of a sudden, thank you, brother. So we're trying to get to the train. It's just mobbed, and people are just pushing, and like these girls were kind of getting pushed. There's this older guy there, and he kind of like pushed my face or something like that. I'm getting pushed from 100 people behind me. I don't know.
Wow.
He kind of like was muffed me in the face, and then
that's what that's called, muffin.
I don't know.
I like it. I want to use that term. Yeah.
So anyway, all of a sudden a circle breaks out and this guy squares up me, and then there's now like his.
Oh, so he wanted to fight. That was like he was starting something.
I didn't do nothing. I literally got pushed into the guy. We were all just pushing to the train, like, I don't know, 300 people just, you know, I don't know. He singled me out, I guess, pushed me in the face.
What'd you tell him? I didn't do nothing. Why you muffing?
No, he came right up. And I was just like, damn. Both these guys squaring up.
In the train or outside?
No, outside. Like,
okay.
Yeah, walking into where the trains would be all.
And his son's with him too?
Oh, yeah.
You got Rob with you or no?
No.
He's in the car?
My brother was there.
No, I'm just kidding.
Jameson.
I'm the car guy.
And man, thank God he came. I don't know. He just had a sixth sense where it came over and put out the brother.
Your brother put out the kid.
And then it was just me and this older guy.
All right,
then,
what happened?
Yeah, we just kind of a couple shots here, there, and then.
Could the other guy throw down?
And, actually, wait a second. No, you know what? He couldn't throw down. No, he was very aggressive, though. But I think there was even a third kid, younger kid. There was like two brothers and a father. I don't know, man. It was a mess. There was a Patriots Day parade. And I skipped wrestling practice to get there. And man, that was a rough next day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you knock some people out?
I mean, there's some better stories, but yeah, you know.
We're way past charges being pressed, I believe.
Yeah,
I imagine. So.
Yeah, I want to hear one of Rob's.
All right, let's hear one of Rob's.
All right, honestly, man, I've never really been into too many like street fights, like a couple scuffles playing like basketball and stuff like that. Like, I think it was always because of my older cousins. Like, nobody really wanted to fuck with me because of my older cousins.
Mm-hmm.
This is when we were playing football and just got a little rough. Kid kind of like wanted to square up. It was like
how old were you?
It was like 11.
Okay.
It was like 11. It was like he squared up. It was like 2 seconds. I hit him like a jab cross and that was it. And it was just like backhanded playing and that was it. And like, yeah, I never really got in too many fights at all, really. I used to get bullied by a girl though when I was like, I would say 7, 8, like something like that.
Like, I mean, she liked you though, right?
Yeah. But man, like she was just rough me. I was small. She would just rough me up. And then one time she had me like pinned against the wall, and I don't know where my sister comes and saves the day. But that was like,
what would she say to you when she had you pinned up?
No, she would just like, she'd be like, oh, like, what do you think, you're tough? She would always just kind of like, just like,
wow,
like make it seem like I was making fun of her, then kind of clown me. I'm like, but I don't even know you. Like, what are you fucking with me for? Mm-hmm. Then, but yeah, that was it.
She was winning 10-9 until your sister came.
Yeah, man, I saw her. I was like, thank God. Like, it was bad. It was bad. But she was like, she would pull my hair and everything. And it was just like, I was just always like, kind of like, I was just small too. And but no, and I've never really got too many street fights at all. And all
right, do you guys want the cartel to grow, or do you like the intimate setting of your coach and what is it, maybe a dozen of you all together, or are my numbers off?
No, it's about that. Thank God.
Like, would you guys want this thing to grow into ATT or Extreme? Or
I'll say, we really put together a solid like staff, like I wouldn't want to put that on like Tyson or anybody else who's coaching. Yeah. Like, it's got to be hard to kind of deal with all those personalities, all those, you know, like all those weight cuts, all those training camps, you know. So I would say, like, I definitely want to see us grow more, but along with like a coaching staff that goes with it. And I'll say maybe like a half of a ATT or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more? I have one more.
I do, but it's silly.
Okay. So the last one, we used to joke around about split decisions. Member of the face when someone would lose, but they knew they lost. They're trying to save face. Like, what? Judges are crazy. Bitch, you lost.
You know that.
But now with all the judges, everything's scary. So controversial. Have you guys? Are you sure of what impresses the judges and what scores? And I know that almost sounds insulting, like as a say, do you know the rules? I'm not really trying to say that, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes I'll hear a fighter explain why they thought they won a round. I'm like, well. But I think we've gotten kind of past what wins rounds or not.
Yeah.
So where do you think you guys sit, you guys and the coaches, as far as those close fights go?
I feel like, you know, like, I feel like you know when you win a round, you know, like, you know when you're in a round, you know when you're kind of like, and if you don't, like, you're questioning that round, like, pretty much you just assume you lost that round. So it's kind of like
would you want open scoring?
Huh?
Would you want open scoring?
Open scoring,
yeah, so that a score is flashed and from the corner you can see 10-9 him or 10-9 you. Would you want that, or
I think that'd be pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
like,
you think it would mess with you if you thought two close rounds, you look up, it's like 2018, the other guy, you're like, what the fuck? Like, you got 60 seconds to kind of recover and get in the right frame of mind. And I ask this because in football, you got time in between huddles, you got an end of the quarter, 2-minute warning, a halftime. There's lots of times to reset in a fight. Like, once it starts, like, it's hard to really convey all that message, you know, because you guys are just seeing, like, I imagine a blur.
Yeah, it's just like yeah.
So I don't know if you guys could even make those types of adjustments. And I don't even know if it's fair to say, he should have done this, she should have done that, they should have known this, the coach should have conveyed that. Yeah, so I figured I'd ask you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot, you know, there's so much going on. It's like, if you seem, you think 5 minutes is a long time, but when you're losing, it goes by so quick, you know. So it's a lot to think, it's a lot to process, and it's a lot to adjust to, like, on the fly. But you know, I think if you look up, but also if it opens scoring, you might kind of like do less if you know you're up two rounds. Mm-hmm. Like, right, let me pull back and maybe run around and make it a little less of a more of an exciting fight. So that might hurt it, but yeah, I think it should. Like, I'm like 50-50 on that, because I think if it shouldn't be a surprise at the end of the fight. Like, you should kind of know. I think it'd be easier if you just knew before, you know, obviously the fight was over. So
we're going to talk to a ref tomorrow. Is there anything you guys would like us to ask that ref?
The ref.
Yeah. Is there anything you guys have wondered about the scoring or just the reffing, or?
Honestly, like, I'm probably like one of the guys that never asks the questions when they have those meetings. I'm he's come up, everything's good. We're good. We're good. I'm like, yeah, we're good. You know, they usually kind of go over like the hands up or hand down kind of like thing.
That's happened with Valentina. She thought she had her fingers down, but then they said she didn't have her palm down because that rule was kind of changed a little bit.
Yeah, so they'll kind of usually break that down, and like, they're in and out super easy. So like, I guess like, I would always like, just let me just do my thing and make sure he's out, you know what I'm saying, before you step in. And I don't want to have to be like, oh, I wasn't out, you know, so just let me kind of put him away.
How about you, CK? You good with the state of the game, or is there anything you want to change or tweak? Or
I mean, I'd be open to open scoring. I even think it'd be cool to try out a combat zone just to, you know, I don't know, just give it a shot, see how it goes on a small
scale. Is it up to the promotion or is it up to the...
I think the commission. I can talk with the commission about a proposal, things like that. But I'm open to that. As far as, like, knowing how to win the fight, you just try to win by... I just always try to look for the finish and just win decisively. So it's really not much more I could do to try to win other than...
Yeah, win the rounds decisively. Just win the round,
that's it. But by the biggest margin I can. You know what I mean? I'm always trying to...
Damage seems to be, like... it
you would
you know
think
I mean?
Man you would think
damage
I don't know
going for the finish
right effective striking damage
yeah so like and said, offense for sure yeah. Stalling no good anyway all right I'll leave it to goes has some one final
I just got one more for Calvin. You did the F1 track right
which time
when you went overseas?
Yeah
how was that?
It was awesome. I'm glad I did it because the second time I went to Fight Island, they didn't allow you to do it. Mm-hmm. But I did get a stiff neck from the damn helmet, and Rob was having a heat stroke. He almost couldn't make it. He had the bodysuit on. He was like, I need a water.
I could
just
see
like
that
just pouring it on his head. Like, bro. Yeah.
I was dying.
The suit's hot, or you were just not hydrated?
It was hot. Definitely. I gotta assume I get motion sickness. Like, I was feeling it. I was hot.
Were you like one of them girls on Instagram that's on a ride and they start going like,
I just got back from, kind of got cleared from knee surgery. So I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going for a run. Almost died on the run and then end up doing the.
Yeah, you had to take the golf cart thing back.
Yeah,
I
forgot who it was, but like some big Russian guy comes like, you all right, bro? I'm like, oh, yeah, like, nah, jump in the car. Take me back. I'm like, I got a whole bunch of electrolyte waters and chugging them. And then we did that, the same thing. And just like, I don't know, I'm just not built for that heat, man. I was hurting. And then the first one, I felt fine the first lap. And the second one, because we went back to back, I was, all right, man, pull this thing over. Let me get out. And it was just sweating, drenched. It was bad. Man.
How fast were you going?
I don't know. Things picked up pretty quick. Yeah, man. Like, I want to say at least maybe 120, maybe a little more.
Way than more than that. Yeah, like, I think it had to be like, at least one, I think 160. I don't know.
Yeah, like they were going though. They were going.
F1's one guy.
Well, no, they did the track, but they weren't in F1 cars.
It was a two seater. One of them was like you got a
two seater F1 car or like an NASCAR.
It was like I wish Tyson.
We should probably pull Tyson in.
Yeah.
Do you? What were you doing with your hands?
I had to like hold on to like the bar or something. I want to say something like. Mm-hmm. Something
so how
like
was
that.
It? Pretty cool.
Either way, man, I went to PT that next day because my neck around the turns, the helmet's so heavy, it's like, you know, whipping around. And then I guess the therapist was saying they had like six athletes in there that week because of that. That's probably why they took it out the next time, because everyone had these damn knots in their neck from going around the turns. But it was awesome. It was a really cool experience.
Did you walk out of the car like this? It was fucking awesome.
I mean, I swear, I dropped some good weight in that car.
Bro, it was hot.
We were sweating. Yeah, full body suit. It's like, how much? Like 110, 115 out there,
was
right?
Hot.
Something like
so
that.
So whoever went after you and put your suit on would have been like, what the fuck just happened?
Bad, man. It was bad. It was,
they're coming to Vegas.
Yeah. I think Tyson's trying to get out here for that. Like, he's a big F1. I think he's trying to watch it this Sunday at 10, I believe he was saying. So, but... It's interesting. It's pretty cool, man. I have a lot of respect for those drivers because, man.
Yeah, that was not easy.
It was not easy.
That level of attention, focus for that long.
Mm. All right. Your game, was that something else? Or?
That's at the end, but I don't know if he's going to have time for it. So okay. I gotta ask.
Right. Well, guys, thanks so much for showing up.
Appreciate it.
And we wish you the best. We're really glad to hear about your update on your knee and that you're ready to go. And good luck for your training camp for the fight leading up to December 2nd against Davison Figueiredo.
Let's go. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thanks guys.
All right. I knew at some point that Boston LA stuff would come out.
Yeah, those guys are always a fun time. You know, I guess to pull back the curtain again, this was we really wanted to put this on our Thursday show, but time just did not permit it. And we ended up interviewing these guys later on Thursday, and we like to try and get the show to you guys early on Thursday. So that's why we decided to hold on to it and save it for today's show. And hopefully it helps a little bit because George is sounding horrible. But yeah, that's where we're at. And there was actually, there's more to that program. We had Cody Durden as well and Coach Tyson Chartier. And those are interviews that you'll see coming up out of, hopefully this week.
Yep. Let's leave you with this. Dana White did say that Conor McGregor is not officially in the USADA pool, even though Conor McGregor hinted at having turned in some paperwork and he's ready to run it. Although Dana did say that some paperwork had been submitted, but he's still not officially, you know, maybe T's need to be crossed, I's need to be dotted, Q's need to be squigglied. But it sounds like we're close. But it also sounds like from then on, it's the 6-month waiting period, because he said there's still a lot of things that need to happen as far as the fights go. Then we'll see where he's going to land. It didn't sound like anything was happening in time for December or whatever Connor had hinted at a while back, which is now 2 months away. So, yeah, I think they know that just probably wouldn't be good for business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the latest with that. Any thoughts there, Goose?
Yeah, a very unfortunate thought. I just don't care anymore. It's been going on for too long. I'm just over it. I really, really am. And I'm mad that Michael Chandler has to sit on the bench all this time. It just sucks, dude. Like, it really does. And when he comes back, like, what is he going to look like? I don't know. He looks like a monster still in training. I don't know. Have you seen, like, his sparring sessions that he's put out there? He still looks huge.
Well, he tapered down a little, but yeah, he's still pretty buffed. Although he's always been real cut up and in shape and all that. He doesn't carry much fat. But, I mean, I think he knows the rules. So once this paperwork goes in, he can be tested in it at any time. Let's see how this works out. This weekend's UFC Fight Night 230 with Sadiq Youssef and Edson Barbosa. And we're getting closer to Bellator and 301. That's in November. So is UFC. Well, UFC's still got a lot of stuff in between there. But Bellator 301's in November in Chicago. And the PFL finals are in November as well. They're in Washington, D.C. So it'll pretty much be a UFC run here for a while. Don't forget, there's the UFC 294 card, which will be on a time difference out of Abu Dhabi. We'll have a watch along for that. And Francis Ngannou is going to be boxing at the end of the month. So lots to look forward to. And you can catch it all the news regarding all these events on MMA Junkie. And don't forget, Ghost and I are live every Monday for Spinning Backlick. Our regular start time is noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Tomorrow we'll go at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. For the last time, because Dana White Contender Series is over, we like to stream their weigh-ins. That's why we go in early. So you'll notice that difference. And, of course, if you miss any part of the show, you can go to youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo to catch it. And with that, we're out of here. Have a nice day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Go out and be a champion.